one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Solution. Sean Waltman, you want an apology from me? You actually show up at our offices on a Monday afternoon when I think you probably got it figured out. Even you, Sean, are smart enough to figure out I probably won't be there. And as far as the apology goes, bite me. I apologize to no one. Better idea. Because Sean, I know you're just a little puppet. You do what Vince McMahon tells you to do. So Vince McMahon, this is for you. I'm coming to your backyard this Sunday. That's right, where's some ass? Got a little pay-per-view thing going on. And I got a hell of an idea. Just a hell of an idea. You want me? I'm going to be in your backyard. Consider this an open invitation, Vince McMahon. You show up at Slamboree. It'll be me and you, McMahon, in the ring.
Well, he's got me with that one. I buy a ticket.
How about it, Vinny? But I want to warn you people right now, if you think Vince McMahon has got the guts to show up, don't buy this pay-per-view, because I guarantee you, he is not man enough to step into the ring with moi. But I'll be there, Vinnie Mac. I'll be waiting for you, and I'm going to knock you out. See you there!
Wow. Holy smokes. Never thought in my wildest dreams of being a professional wrestling announcer that I would witness anything like that.
Challenges are flying left and right tonight, and the night is young.
Tuesday night, December 17th, 2019, episode 622 of The Rant is officially live across the airwaves of Rant Entertainment Media, rantemradio.com, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and a plethora of other platforms. Welcome one and all to what probably is going to be the final episode of The Rant of 2019. As we gear up for the holidays coming up next Tuesday, Christmas Eve, the following week, New Year's Eve. And it's going to be kind of quiet around here on the network for the next couple of weeks. So we hope you enjoy your holiday season. Double A, as always, being joined by Tony C.
Hey, yo.
Another Tuesday night. Lots to talk about. Been an interesting week. Interesting weekend. Just interesting overall. So, the silver one not here, conspicuous by his absence, off seeing the new Star Wars movie, I'm sure, probably got a screener that he said they don't screen Star Wars movies.
So, he's going to mail it in on the last show.
The last show of the year. The last show of not only 2019, the last show of this decade.
Exactly.
You know, because when our first show, right now, our first scheduled show of 2020 is going to be probably Tuesday, January 7th. And we're going to be entering, technically, our third decade on the air because we started the show in the 2000s. We've been on the air all throughout the 2010s. And here we are kicking off 2020. So maybe that'll be our tagline. The rant. Three decades of nonsense.
And he couldn't find the courage to just stop it. Yeah.
Or you
just
know what?
Because you want to see
I should start demanding that he let me know whether or not he's going to be here or not.
I know, just for Star Wars. I mean, who at this point?
And the thing that pisses me off, in a way, he's watching this movie probably for free tonight.
Of course.
And will pay for it to watch it again on Friday.
When it's supposed to drop.
Yeah. Maybe he thinks something's going to change between Tuesday and Friday. They're going to add an addition. They're going to add an additional scene.
Add 10 minutes of footage
or 10 seconds. That wasn't in the first screening that I saw.
I don't know why everybody's so about Star Wars. They're not going to do no but resurrect the franchise again.
Of course. You think this is dead? You think that mouse is going to give this up? Give me a break.
Exactly.
That mouse is set to make $1 billion in the next couple of weeks.
Of this fake ending of a franchise.
Exactly.
I mean, it just aches my nerves that people are going berserk.
Yeah.
Just for that sound.
Just for that sound. Just so they can have hear this for 2.5 hours.
Spaceballs, they don't got a sequel when this franchise lived on.
I'm demanding a Spaceball sequel. Mel Brooks, before you drop dead.
And we know we're on borrowed time.
I mean, you're 80-something. Start writing.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Anyways. But yeah, it's been an interesting week. Of course, I expected to see the Connors tonight. And I got preempted for the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
And down until we come back, pretty much.
Yeah, so... Anyways, but
only thing new was on tonight is Empire.
So you know, while we were prepping to come on the air, I was playing around with where I get a lot of the drops and the music and things like that, and I was in. We're coming back from commercial break on Nick Arcade.
Nick Arcade. We're doing a commercial in the new year?
Maybe. And don't go anywhere because coming up in the second hour, Surfer's going to tell us whether or not he paid full price for that sandwich he took to the Star Wars movie. That's all coming up in hour number two of the rant. Don't go anywhere.
This portion of the rant is brought to you by
Go ahead.
JS Sports. Boot bags.
No, the one that I was going to hit was, hold on. Because finally they unlocked it. Was this one? Hi, you've won a backpack from JanSport. Carry your books around in style with JanSport. And then I was gonna. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll take commercials just so I can play some of these drops now.
Commercial break.
Commercial break.
2020 coming to the ring.
Uh huh. Do.
Give me 1 second, though.
Okay. Now we'll give Tony C a second. We'll tell you that you can win a Commodore 64 game system. That's right, a Commodore 64 game system. With all the latest games, all you have to do is hook it up to your TV with the rabbit ears. Just screw it back into the TV and click the on button, and then there you go. You have a Commodore 64 rare to go. It's Commodore 64, yours, courtesy. The rant.
Okay, I'm back with you, man.
I'm being
pestered right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. For some reason, people want to wait till they get on
the board. Here's the silver one.
Mosing on in. Late per usual.
Unbelievable. Tardy to the party. So, explain yourself. Oh, he muted himself immediately. Explain yourself, Surfer. Go ahead, Surfer. Explain yourself. Why are you late? I'll give you some music in the background to think. Come on, Surfer. Tell me. Surfer called in just to mute himself, I guess.
The dog probably hit the mute button.
The dog hit the mute
button. Yeah, I don't know why mute is now, but I'm never late.
You're never late. It's only 9:13, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when I could log in. I couldn't log in before now.
Probably
why?
You're probably taking a deuce before coming on the air, and you wait till 8:55 just to grab your paper.
AOL. Well, Litron, that's what dropped me, Double A.
Yeah.
I'm for that last episode of Watchmen. So.
Okay. Did we talk about? I don't remember talking about. There's Surfer logging in. Look at that. Surfer's having some trouble connecting. There we go. He connected.
You got mail. Welcome.
Yeah, I never use AOL.
Oh.
There it is. I mean, you're on the internet.
He still connected, man. There it goes. He connected. Okay.
That means somebody on the internet picked up the phone from that splitter.
Uh-huh.
And that is why I need one of y'all on my Christmas list.
Surfer, I thought you were already connected to the internet. Okay, well, we'll let Surfer connect here.
You know, I could be doing better things like going to bed.
Go to where?
Why would you go to bed early?
Because I don't need to be
ridiculed
during the holidays.
Tis the season to the rap surfer. Fa la 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 la.
You got mail.
Oh,
there it is, right there.
Anyways,
do you know I have a digital copy?
A digital copy of AOL?
No, You Got Mail.
The movie?
Yeah.
Okay, why? Why?
I belong to
the Make cry.
Sir.
Your connection is horrible.
Yeah, your connection. Jesus, going on? That AOL sucks, man. Jeez.
You log off, get on Netspin.
How do I sound now?
Well, better.
Net zero. I mean, net zero.
Let me quiet my phone. Hold on.
Getting all the malicious.
Anyway.
Contest
anyway, I get surveys from three. And for doing that.
That damn AOL again.
Usually around. No one's listening to me.
Because your connection is bad.
It sounds like you're on the damn payphone.
Oh, wait a minute. You got... Server. You're busy over there.
You got IO.
You've got voicemail.
Oh.
I'm going to change that. Hold on.
File's done.
Download.
Come on, server.
Oh. Uh-oh, that means somebody just logged off. It's sad I know all them sounds, Lord.
Hey, so do I.
New message.
Yeah. Come on, surfer.
Give me a
second. Okay.
Clicking on it.
Wanted the shutdown size, not those. All right, well, whatever.
I know tomorrow's an epic day in our lives. Wolf gonna be up bright and early at 6.
And I'll be at work. I won't be here. And you know, oh, there you go.
So oh, he shut down.
He just said shut down. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be at work.
Oh, wait, this job, they don't let you, you don't have...
Well, it's only the second day in. I'm training.
Oh, okay.
I got to behave somewhat.
You got a name, Texas? Hello, my name is Trainer.
Hello. We went over this, surfer, like 2 weeks ago. Can you think of a new joke?
Can you think of a new joke?
Of course I can.
No, you can't. Can I tell you how I got the movie or not?
Okay, how did you get the movie? You could have told us before, but your internet connection was bad. Go ahead.
Because I do surveys for Warner Brothers.
Okay.
They usually send me codes. They'll usually send me a bunch of codes for a bunch of movies, and it's random.
Surveys. What's in these surveys that you do?
About what they ask you? Movies, TV shows, games, websites.
Like, so okay, what's a Warner Brothers movie you done a survey on? So?
You got mail.
No.
Oh, and they sent you a copy?
Current movies.
Oh, current movies.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, okay.
Future movies. Like, they'll ask, have I heard of a movie? Have I seen it? They'll ask what I think about the design of their... DVDs and which one's better and why. Something like that. They gave me a year of the DC network just for giving them info on it.
Okay. So a year of the DC network. So what does that have to do with you having a digital copy of You Got Mail? Is that part of one of your gifts?
Yeah, they'll send you a bunch of random movies. And 1 year, that was a part of it.
Ah.
Just like I got a copy of Gone with the Wind. It's not like I'm ever going to watch it.
But it's in your collection now.
Yes.
You know what's Gone with the Wind, sir?
I've seen it. That don't mean I want to watch it now.
What's my favorite line from that movie? Clarice, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. You've had to see it.
Now, if we were to reboot that movie for 2019, what would that line be like?
Oh, the line that Tupac used in Poetic Justice, frankly, my dear, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, he said it just like that, frankly, my dear, I don't give a fuck.
Oh, man.
Shout out to John Singleton, the late, great John Singleton, for sliding that in there. He did that. You know,
frankly, my dear, I don't give a fuck.
There it is. I told you. I told you.
Anyway,
that John Singleton went back and found that line and gone with the wind shows how great, how shows his cinematic greatness. Is all I'm gonna say.
So yeah, Wolf will be up early tomorrow.
Yep.
I'll see if I find out anything interesting. You know, I'm sure you'll let me know, and I'll get a text message at some point, and I'll be able to check it. But yeah, no, this new job, it's been interesting. I'm content. A lot to learn. I got a binder of stuff I need to, you know, review, but yeah, it's going swell, I must say. I was introduced to my cubicle and my computer today, so I was getting accustomed to that. And so, yeah,
a nice co-worker.
They're all nice. Yeah, some are louder than others, but I could put up with it. Yeah.
So are you? Like, are you doing the same thing you used to do?
No.
You're doing something totally different.
Totally different. So I got to be trained from scratch.
Oh, man.
So, a lot of note taking. But I'm making do, you know. I'm happy. That's what's most important. So yeah.
How long is your training? A couple weeks?
Could be 2 to 4 weeks.
And then you got, what, 6 month probation?
I don't know what the I don't even know what the, if there's a probation period. To be honest with you, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's not like I would go back to the other place. So,
what kind of boss you got?
I got a few bosses, and they're all nice.
So, one of them call you into the office and say, "We want you to show us how you're a team player."
Well,
figure out a way to do that.
Listen, they take care of me. They had a box of cookies delivered to my house today. So.
Hell.
So you ready to be a team player if someone asks?
Of course. I've always been a team player, haven't I?
I'm talking about the team player they was talking about on that Bombshell commercial.
Anyway. That's the Fox. That's the Roger Ailes movie, ain't it?
Yep.
They wouldn't make that this time of year. It's supposed to be a holiday season of movie.
I know, right?
And you make a sexual harassment movie. A movie about...
Very timely.
Harassment and exactly. Predatory practices.
In
the workplace.
Yeah. Let me see here. But yeah, I've just been... I came home yesterday, watched a little Raw, did a little cooking. So I'm relaxed today. Came home, ate some pizza, prepared for the show. I'm relaxed. I feel good. No more traffic, which is the positive part of all this. I'm at work in 15 minutes, and I'm home in just about the same. So
okay,
it's better than an hour.
You got it going on.
Yeah. So everything's gonna work. It looks like it's working out for the best. So yeah. And, you know, I've been watching these stupid videos on, I found a whole bunch of videos on YouTube of somebody who pirated the WCW satellite feed during the Monday Night Wars and recorded all the pre-shows, all the pre-show festivities before Nitro went live on the air. So you would see David Penzer warming up the crowd and all the jabroni dark matches and hear Tony Schiavone you know, like, okay, make sure, Brain, you talk about this, and Lee will talk about that, and, you know, we got to touch on these bullet points, and blah, 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 and going, it's pretty interesting. It's pretty funny, too. You'll hear David Penzer saying, ladies and gentlemen, please don't throw things into the ring. Let me see if I can cue this up a little bit. This is the one. Oh, they played wrestling music in the arena before these shows. Let me see if I can get here something with Dave Penzer. This is one in Denver, Colorado. Here we go.
Has gone severely wrong here. That's Goldberg, and it's been overturned.
Hold on. Dave, this is where Dave Penzer is telling them to turn up the mic volume.
As tight as you can, because I'm a tick. And what they think they're meaning up.
I'll bet the mortgage on him.
Oh, can he?
They're trying to test this stuff out here. Hold on. Here we go. Stuff like that, and it's pretty interesting to watch, so I recommend you you go look at it. Lots of stuff from 1998. Like, there's another one here, Casper, Wyoming, and things like that. Go ahead.
Speaking of Bill Goldberg.
Yes.
You quit talking bad about my boy, Scott Hall.
Yes, okay? Because he called him a piece of shit several times.
Numerous times. And you cannot be a POS and be from Chulio, Florida. I'm just saying.
The only letters that that POS should stand for is point of sale. So,
exactly.
But yeah,
I was highly offended by that mark sitting up there.
There was a couple of things, you know. While the special was not as good as the Undertaker one, let's start there. But there was some topic, the show still was informative, and there were some things that they did not touch on that I was hoping that they would have, but I'm thinking that maybe Goldberg maybe put the kibosh on it and didn't want
Goldberg
to address
it. Goldberg is not as good as The Undertaker, first of all.
No. It's not even that. Like, I was wondering, because when they were talking about how Goldberg wrestled his first matches in, you know, the dark matches and he wrestled.
I know exactly what they skipped over too.
He wrestled exactly as Bill Gold, and then what else? So then they talked about his first couple of matches, and Stone Cold was going over them one by one. He started with Hugh Morris, then he went over Jerry Flynn and Roadblock and blah. Which one did they skip over, Tony C?
That damn Steven Regal match.
How come they didn't bring that up?
Because Steven Regal embarrassed him.
But that's the point. Why exactly. Why wouldn't they have brought that up?
Because Bill Goldberg, his problem was he believed his own hype.
But that they talked about everything else in terms of who he was.
His build.
Build and everything. Why? I don't understand why that was a pivotal point in his build. I was looking forward to them
talking about
Steven Regal. Do you really think he was going to sit there and say, Steven Regal showed me I couldn't wrestle?
Steven Regal taught me something.
What did he teach him? That he can't wrestle.
That he exactly.
Yeah, nobody ain't going to sit there and say, I was taught I can't wrestle.
He taught him more than what he was trying to get Beautiful Bobby Eaton credit for.
Yeah, he put over Bobby Eaton like
a million bucks. It's nothing for you to say, look, I got to know Steven Regal, and I found out I wasn't as ready as I wanted to be. What's wrong with saying that?
Nothing if you are humble.
But that's the thing. I don't think he's humble.
Right.
He still
believes his own bullshit.
His own, exactly. As Mean Gene said, he's still reading his own clippings.
The sad part is he's a one-time WCW champion.
And that's it.
He's a multiple time.
Yeah, one-time WCW champion, one-time WWE champion, one-time Universal champion, and that's it. He's held three titles in his life.
And that interview sounded like somebody who basically was on a Triple H-esque level in the Attitude Era.
Exactly.
Like, dude, you call Scott Hall a piece of shit because
I'm not defending his comments. I'm not defending his comments, but I understand why he would say it.
Why? What does Scott Hall do to him besides
It's not that what Scott Hall did to him. Scott Hall, because you got to remember, when Goldberg broke into the business, that's when Scott was going through his rough period.
In '98,
don't you remember all the drunken promos and stuff? That was 98.
Well, what they got to do with Goldberg?
But the point is, I'm sure Scott was difficult to deal with during that time. They didn't talk about Goldberg and Bret Hart.
Exactly. No, they didn't. And I'm going to tell you like this. That Hogan put him over.
Hogan put him over. Simple as that. Let me see if I can cue up the interview.
The wrestling business wouldn't have been the same without Scott Hall. You can't say that without Goldberg.
In the grand scheme of the universe, is Bill Goldberg one of the all-time
Goldberg.
I said GOAT. Can I finish? Is he one of the all-time greats?
Hell no.
All right then.
But he's a WWE Hall of Famer. Like that. And
being in the Hall of Fame is one thing. But I mean, them acting like he's one of the all-time greats to ever step in the ring.
We know he's not.
Definition of that. Okay, no, the hard work. I was in the right place at the right time. There's correct. No doubt about it.
The hard work is put in.
Hogan and those
plan.
Guys had come down from you guys. It was the perfect timing. They were big heels, and they needed somebody to be the good guy. And somebody that, ironically, that they made on their own, a homegrown guy, that just came out of nowhere. And I guess I was the guy.
But I would say that you were overnight sensation. When I started studying your body of work and looking at all the pieces, when you started talking about hybrid, I mean, you were right on track with what you ended up doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I just saw great striking, great kicks, you know, a limited moveset, but pure power, pure explosiveness. It wasn't about you going out there and telling a 20-minute...
That's what everyone does.
Yeah.
And that's not good, bad, or indifferent. That's normal wrestling. But mine was kind of like feeding people to the lions. It was completely different. It was shock and awe. And by the time you figured out what was going on, it was gone, so you wanted more. I learned a lot of things from a lot of people. I remember I was training, and I threw a guy into the corner, and I hit him 15 times, and he's still on his feet. And they were all powerful body shots, and I made him come with an elbow, and Sarge comes up, and he goes, "Why'd you do that?" I said, "What do you mean? I wanted to make it look strong." He goes, "Then hit the sumbitch once and drop him." Like, Then, I'm doing a match with Barbarian, my second match. I take a belly-to-belly from the top turnbuckle, right? I get to the back. Eric Bischoff runs up to me and he goes, "Don't you ever do that." And I'm like, "What'd I do?" He goes, "Don't, you're never climbing up there again." Barbarian, I love him. I respect him. I just did what he asked me to do. And so I kind of learned a little bit about a lot of things at that time, you know, slowly but surely. People didn't have to tell me certain things, but I figured it out. Hogan, less is more. Sarge, when you think you're going slow, slow down. I'm a very basic person. I truly am. You know, it's kind of like life. There's so much bullshit going on right now, and people overthink everything. Well, if you're a good person and you treat people how you want to be treated, it's pretty freaking simple, right? So I just had a good work ethic. I tried to listen to the right people, and, you know, I hope for the best.
To me, I thought, well, you came out and you made Maximum Impact, you know, short range of moves, powerful, devastating moves that fit the
that were realistic.
And the intensity factor was off the charts. Yeah. You know, when I look at, you know, your first match, when you start going television, you were already in the ring. Like a Jay Brown.
I was.
Or they announcing you as an unknown.
I was a Jay Brown.
They was giving Hugh Morris a little bit of a shove there.
Bill, job.
Dude.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Look, I didn't do
shit. Look.
And while they're talking about the match here, something that they did not mention, because they were saying how Stone Cold and Goldberg were neck and neck in terms of
the look
and the fight for Monday Night Supremacy. Goldberg's first match, televised match, September 22nd, 1997. September 22nd, 1997 is a marquee day in the wrestling industry. September 22nd, 1997 was also the day Stone Cold Steve Austin stunned Vince McMahon in Madison Square Garden for the very first time.
But they were still losing the ratings.
They were still losing the ratings, but that was the night that both shows focused on a muscular bald guy who would ultimately rise to the top of the promotion.
This is a green guy standing in the corner, not selling nothing. Look at that.
And then did a damn backwards flip.
No intimidation on your end as far as, I mean, admitting it, but not feeling it. Eh? Look at that. Dude, you can't deny that.
Well,
bam!
And that was
Bam's
different.
A big dude.
That was different, you know?
Okay, watch this. Okay, look at the way you're picking him up. Look at the body language.
He didn't go with me.
Don't do this. I know.
I took him, dude. Look at that.
That's it. Bam! Down. Here's what I love here. Watch this. Love this. Love this. Couple things going on here from a scouting perspective. Here's what I'm seeing. Pure power. That was your first match.
Now, they talked and this and that. He put over Bobby Eaton. Again, they didn't put over Steve Regal. They didn't talk about the matches with
Bret Hart.
It's ridiculous.
It really was.
It still was an entertaining thing. But
They thought about.
Can we stop for 1 second? Why the hell did Lee text us a picture of David Hasselhoff, Tom Selleck, and I can never remember this guy's name from Quantum, Scott Bakula?
He probably claiming them the shows that I'm watching while I'm convalescing on Quantum.
But they're all scantily clad pictures.
Magnum PI Night Rider.
Jeez. Anyways, go ahead.
One of them is correct. Night Rider is correct. I love me some Night Rider. But they talked about how he wanted to kill Scott Hall and busted his damn arm on his damn limo. Using that window like a dumbass. And you talking about he hit the roof, and all you see was the blood splat on the roof of the car.
Here's where he puts over Bobby Eaton. Here we go.
Out on Instagram a couple months ago, Bobby Eaton. Remember?
I love Bobby Eaton.
Okay, this was Bobby Eaton taught the Guerreros, Steiners, Sarge, Dallas. There's a lot of people who really helped me that a lot of people have no idea about, like zero. Eaton helped me out so much. Sting so much. We're in the middle of my streak, and I still don't know shit from Shinola, right? And we're in his home frickin' town, right? And he's putting me over that night, and I am begging Arn Anderson to let me put him over. Whether it's a show or not, I wanted him to be the man that night. And it meant everything to me. And in the beginning, I don't know what the brevity of the streak, but frick, as a man, I wanted to do that.
Right.
What would you have said? Now, I want to cut you off. What would you have done if Bobby Eaton, who at that time was jobbing left, right, and sideways, beat Goldberg on television?
And he didn't say let him beat me. He just let put him
yes,
over.
Yes, he did.
He said put him over. He wanted to do the job.
Put him over. Can make it. Him look
no.
good.
Put him over. No. In wrestling.
Go listen to that clip again.
Put him over. In wrestling, putting someone over is letting them win.
And if that was the case, sir, why would Arn Anderson say no? Because that's what he said later on in the clip. He was like, Arn Anderson was like, hell no.
Because if he would have made Bobby look good, he could have said, I should have let Bobby carry the match and let Bobby do the work and Bobby showcase his abilities and talents. But no, he wanted to put Bobby over, which means let Bobby win.
Everybody know that wrestling term means that.
Am I going to have to give a vocabulary lesson, Surfer?
Wrestling 101.
Okay.
Bobby Eaton would have beat damn Goldberg. This streak would have been over before it started. I'm sorry. I don't give a damn. If he had lost to Bobby Eaton but beat Hollywood Hogan, I'd have threw my TV out the door.
In 1998, probably. Now, that's no disrespect to Bobby Eaton.
Bobby, but at that point, hell no.
And speaking of Bobby, by the way, this past Saturday, they did a tribute to Bobby, an event called Bobby Doesn't Know. Bobby is one of the last human beings on Earth that is completely disconnected from the internet. And he doesn't know how to use a computer. He doesn't know how to get on social media or anything like that. So they plan this event, promoting it through social media, a night for Bobby Eaton where they would bring Bobby to what he thought was an autograph signing, and the proceeds from the event would go to Bobby. And a lot of people were there. A lot of big names were there, including a man that we talked about here in regards to Goldberg, Bobby Eaton's old tag team partner, Steven Regal.
From the Blue Bloods.
From the Blue Bloods. So,
Blue Blood lore.
But yeah, so, you know, there's not too many people. The only bad thing I've ever heard about Bobby Eaton is that Bobby Eaton is just too nice of a guy. That's the only thing I've heard negative about Bobby Eaton.
Wasn't Bobby Eaton in part of the Dangerous Alliance?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Yes, he was. Former tag team partner with, you know, that's another common thing that they got there. Goldberg puts over Bobby Eaton. Austin tagged with Bobby Eaton.
What faction Bobby Eaton wasn't a part of at one time? And I know he wasn't a part of every one.
Who,
he
Bobby
was a part of a lot of them. Yeah.
Bobby Eaton was only a part of the Dangerous Alliance.
I don't know what the hell Seth is talking about.
Yeah.
Bobby Eaton.
What, you think he was a four horseman or something? What'd you think? Yeah. What'd you thought?
No, I know he wasn't a horseman. He wasn't part of the dungeon?
No. But let me ring that back. What did Surfer say? Or something? What'd you think? Yeah. What'd you thought?
No, I know he wasn't a horseman. He wasn't part of the dungeon?
Bobby Eaton, a part of the Dungeon of Doom.
He wasn't aligned with Kevin Sullivan at one time.
No!
Hell no.
Bobby Eaton, the only faction he was in the Dangerous Alliance. Other than that, he was a member of the Midnight Express, and he was a member of the Blue Bloods. That's it. Oh my god.
Could you imagine seeing Bobby Eaton mullet in one of them damn Dungeon of Doom promos back?
Good lord. Anyways,
down in that dungeon. Oh my god, that's hilarious.
But yeah, he put over Bobby. I mean, again, it was a good special, not as good as the Taker one. And
yeah, you gotta get some better gifts.
I lobbied in our text discussion on Sunday. I lobbied that Stone Cold needs to sit down with Sting.
Do y'all feel that they being honest or
Goldberg was 100%?
I think they're being honest because let me tell you something. In regards to the Undertaker one. I mean, yeah, we have nothing to compare to in regards to a previous Undertaker thing where the Undertaker was out of character. I mean, yeah, there were other times, but the frequency is so little that it's hard for us to sit down and be like, well, the Undertaker over here said this, and then the Undertaker over here said that. No, the person that Stone Cold interviewed on after the Survivor Series in that special, he interviewed Mark Calloway. And Mark Calloway talked about how he quit WCW and was scared to death that the WWF hired him and was going to make him pop out of this egg at the Survivor Series.
You're gonna tell me that
The Undertaker is going to BS that story out of character?
He almost became the gobbledygooker, huh?
No, he almost became Eggman.
He almost became the Eggman.
Wow.
Man,
You did not see the special, Surfer?
No, man.
Undertaker?
I'm too tired. You know, I can't sleep.
No, but the Undertaker one happened like a month ago. You haven't gone back and watched it?
No.
There's the dog.
Ubu, come here, boy.
Oh, man, let me go back and see where... Let me play, because you can even... I mean, it's evident as hell that the Undertaker is real here. Hold on, originals, Broken Skull Sessions.
Hey, everybody, my name.
Hold on, let me see here.
Ole said he wasn't gonna never draw money.
Oh yeah. Let's play a little bit of that. Here we go.
So. About that time is when Sid got hurt. When the Steiners had suplexed Sid, I think, broke a rib and punctured his lung. And then when Sid went down, you know, there just wasn't a whole lot of 6'8" guys running around. So they called down there, I think probably through Dutch, and said, hey, you want to come up here and be part of the Skyscrapers?
Damn right you do.
You damn right. I was.
Well, y'all look good together too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got 2 6'8" guys, and back then Danny could still move, and you know, Dan's another one of them legit tough guys.
Salty.
Danny was.
I had always heard.
Yeah, Danny was legit. I got a great story. So, you know, Danny and I are together, and they're getting us ready for the Road Warriors. They're going to have a Chicago street fight, a big pay-per-view, and we had one of those, one of the clashes. You remember the clashes?
Yes, yeah.
They were free, you know. They were like the mini pay-per-view before the big pay-per-view, and we were going to get our heat. right? So we have our match. At the end of the match, you know, before we go out, Danny says, just follow my lead, kid. That's all I got, right? So we have our match. We do our, you know, do our...
How long had y'all been together at this time?
We had been together a few months now.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But you, if he says follow your lead...
Yeah, I'm following his lead.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
I'm still the greenhorn, and now I'm in a role where, you know, stakes are way higher. So, I mean, I've gone from the regional territory to one of the big companies now. So we have the match. At the end of the match, we're going to get the heat, right? Get some heat, leave him laying. Danny remembered he didn't like the booking up to this point. So Danny pulls out a chair, and he commences to whooping the Road Warriors like ain't nobody seen the Road Warriors get whooped, right? And I'm just kind of there filling up space. But Danny was going to town to the point where I'm like, we're going to fight. You know, once we get backstage, you know, so I'm still green enough, like I'm still in that Road Warrior mystique.
Yeah,
you know,
they popped it.
Yeah, you know, I'm still green enough to think that, you know, the Road Warriors are, you know, they're some bad dudes, which they were, but
yeah.
You know, so I'm just watching, you know, and I'm gathering all this in, you know, and Danny is just wearing them out, right? Boom, finishes. Come on. So we go back up. We were in Corpus Christi, Texas. Remember that old arena right there on the water? We walked up the stairs. And then the dressing room was in there, right? So we come up. And I sit down. And Danny's probably 4 feet or so down. And I'm right by the door here, right? And I'm on the edge of my chair. I'm like, we're about to fight. I'm talking to myself, you know. I said, as soon as they come up, we're about to go. So I can hear, you know, coming up the steps, right? And I've already got myself worked up. So I've got myself perched on the edge of my chair, right?
About to jump the gun.
I'm about to, as soon as somebody says something, I'm coming, right? And I kid you not, they came around the corner, and they were like, oh, Danny, thank you, man. That was great. That was awesome. Great heat, right? And Danny just sitting there, you know? And I'm just sitting there baffled. I'm like, what the hell has just happened here? Yeah, I'm completely, like, dumbfounded for any explanation of what just happened, right?
Right.
And then, you know, finally they worked their way down, and, you know, good job, kid, and went on about their business, right? And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, and finally I just kind of cocked my head, and I looked down at Danny. This is what I get from Danny. I just get to go. Then I knew. I knew that was... Danny knew how they weren't
going to
test Danny
right.
at all.
All right, that's when he was talking. But I'm trying to find now where he was talking about. Here we go.
Okay, that came kind of difficult at that.
See, Russell.
And I knew at that point, I was like, okay.
Here we go.
And it was only.
Here we go.
You talk about a dagger shot.
I'll tell you the truth. I go in.
You go into a singles role, right?
Now, I've been working my way up as a single. My contract comes up, right? And so I'm thinking I'm going to get a little bump, right? So I go in. I remember Jim Herd and Jim Barnett and Ole Anderson all in the, you know, in the CNN tower there. I said, well, tell you the truth, kid. You're a great athlete. He says, but there's no one's ever going to pay money to see you wrestle.
Boy. You talk about a dagger shot to the liver.
I'm like, wow. I just hear that. Like, and it was Ole. He looked me square in the eyes, didn't blink when he said it. He says, no one will ever pay money to watch you wrestle. And I knew at that point, I was like, okay, I'm done here.
And so all of a sudden, they got nothing for you. No one's going to pay nothing to see you wrestle.
Yeah.
You're trying to go to the big show, which we all know that's really where you want to be.
Yeah. It was another hit to my pride. I was like, okay. That came kind of difficult at that point. Paul Heyman was my manager at this point. And so Paul's kind of relaying the information like, look, they're not going to do anything with this guy. Why don't you see if you guys can do something with him?
Paul saw something. Yeah.
And he's trying to get the door open for me.
Yes.
I remember I'd already set up a meeting to, you know, come meet with Vince. I'm just thinking, okay, well, one, I'm going to the house, right? I'm going to Vince's house. So I'm like, oh, this is, I got this, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I go to the house. Here's a good story, too. So, I don't know. Did you ever go to the China Club in New York?
No, I always heard about it.
Oh, he was tied in deep, right? So, we had worked in the Meadowlands, and my meeting was going to be the next day. So, he goes, okay, well, we'll go to the China Club tonight, and then, you know, we'll go back. And then, you know, they were sending the car service to pick me up. You know, I'm golden, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, back then, had the Zubaz tank top, cowboy boots, and Halliburton, you know. I had that was the look, right?
All the trademark stuff.
Yeah, all the trademark stuff. So I had to go buy some clothes, right? And Paul had this little bitty sports car. So I go to sit down in his car, right? And I rip the ass completely. I ripped the ass out of those pants. I mean, there's a hole in my pants and now I'm headed to the China Club, right?
Of course you are.
But more importantly on my mind is tomorrow morning, I'm going to Vince's house and meet with Vince, right? Yeah. And I'm freaking out now, like, Paul. He's like, don't worry about it. I'll get one of these girls, you know, one of the girls will sew them up. It'll be fine, right? I'm like, Paul. I was like, come on. I said, I got to get these fixed. He's like, they'll be able to do it, right? So we go to the China Club, right? China Club is, there's so many people in there, you can't hardly even move, right? There's nobody got time to sew up a pair of pants as much, you know.
Yeah.
So I sit down all night long in one spot because I don't want to walk around with my damn ass hanging out of these pants, right? So, you know, it's 4 a.m. by the time we get back to his house, and I'm trying to dig through some of his mom's needling thread. I ain't sewed nothing, right? And I'm trying to sew these pants up, right? Piecemeal them together, right? So it's all I can think about, right? They pick me up the next day. I go to the house, right? I'm trying to keep my back away from everybody because I don't want them to see these pants. And I showed up, you know, all ragamuffin. We have the meeting, and it's going along. The meeting's going along pretty well. I feel like I'm being, you know, I'm being pretty charming. And, you know, and then I get the question, you got any hidden talents? You know, so I'm trying to be funny, right? I'm trying to, well, you know, I'm a pretty good singer. I sing in the shower pretty good, you know. And as soon as I said it, I knew I shouldn't have, right? It was like, oh crap! I mean, this is the time they got some pretty outlandish gimmicks going on, you know. And I'm just thinking, oh crap! I wish I hadn't said that, you know. And you know, Vince, how he is. Oh really? You're singing in the shower, huh? And then on the inside, I'm just cringing. Like, I'm no selling on the outside, but on the inside, I'm thinking, man, you screwed up, man. You're gonna be shower boy or something like that, you know. So we get to the end of the meeting, and it's like, well. We don't really have anything for you right now. I'm like, wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd already given my notice. I'm done. You know, I'm already done with WCW at this point. That was it. I'm like, wow, I didn't plan on that happening. So, you know, I've already been told by one company they ain't nobody gonna pay money to see me. Now this guy's, you know, he don't have a spot for me. Maybe after Mania. We're still talking months and months away at that point, you know. So I'm trying to stay positive, you know. I know I've got it in me somewhere to, you know, to make it somewhere, but it was a little shaky there for a minute.
So you're hanging on by a thread. You're doing what you can to maintain, get by, and then there's a phone call. And I want you to tell me about your version of the phone call, because I got, you know, kind of the same phone call you got.
Right.
And, you know, back in when the phones was attached to the wall, and you know, we had a 15-foot cord, you know, big time.
Oh, yeah.
You actually walk around.
You were doing good, man. Yeah. You were doing good.
And I got the phone call, and goes, that's Steve, Vince McMahon. Got an idea for you, pal. Want to bring you in as a ringmaster. Have Ted DiBiase as your manager. Bring you in as a $1 million champion. So you come in as a champion, you're the master of the ring. Boy, I'm sitting there like, well, I'm working for Paul Lee, you know, one day a week, ECW. Right. And, you know, WCW fired me because they said I wasn't marketable, and I was never going to mount to a hill of beans over the phone. So I'm kind of, I've got a lot in common here. And I heard that gimmick, and it sounded like crap, but I'm just thinking, hey, man, you know, I got a wife and a kid, and I got a mortgage payment. Yeah, I'm a ringmaster. But
exactly.
You know, I just knew it was my foot in the door. I wasn't excited about it.
Yeah.
So that was my phone call. I know you got a phone call as well. So where were you at this time? But before you tell me where you were at this time, got something for you.
And now they're taking.
Yeah, before I get into this story, I'm going to need some of that.
Here at Jack Daniels. Let's skip ahead a little bit.
So about the time I got my phone call, they were doing this promotion where on the show, you know, back then they would do 3-4 weeks in a row. They had this gigantic egg on the set. Yeah, you got it. There it is. So now I'm so I'm at home, right? And I'm trying to think, you know, everything I can do. I'm trying to grow my hair out. You know, I'm trying to come up with a different look, whatever it's going to take, right?
We're always searching.
So this egg appears on the show, right? And then all of a sudden my mind just starts going like, oh, man, they're going to bring me in. Now, this is how outlandish the gimmicks were then, too. Like, I'm going to be Eggman. I had convinced myself to the point where, like, my stomach hurt, but I'm going to be Eggman.
Yeah. Are you a worrywart?
Huh?
Are you a worrywart?
No, I'm just chill. Usually, but this is, I'm in a different point now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in a different point than I was. I've already, you know, had a few doors slammed in my face at this point and have struggled and, you know, to be told that I'm, you know, no one's going to pay to see me work. So I'm going through all these scenarios. You know, I'm growing my hair out, right? I got the bogus ponytail. It sticks out straight, you know. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm going to be Eggman. They're going to make me shave my head. They're going to make me shave my eyebrows. They're going to make me shave everything. I'm going to be Eggman. That's going to be my gimmick, right? And I've got myself believing that I'm going to come out of this egg right here. And that's what's going to be. I'm going to be Mr. Clean or whatever, right? I'm just like, please don't call. But I just know it's me, right? So one day, phone rings. Go pick it up. Like we used to have to do. Go pick the phone up. Hello? Yeah, is this The Undertaker?
God.
Now, this is going through my mind, right? Now, Vince, he's already, yeah. And I'm not even sure that it's Vince, but I think it is, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm thinking somebody might be ribbing me, right?
No caller ID.
Yeah, no caller IDs, right? Is this The Undertaker? So I'm thinking in my head, like, quick, right? I'm like, Undertaker. Well, that sure as hell ain't Eggman. Yeah. Yeah, this is The Undertaker. All right, can you? This is Vince. Can you be up here tomorrow? Yes, sir. I'll be up there tomorrow. And that was—I had no clue what Undertaker, what that was, what it meant. But it sounded a whole lot cooler than Eggman. You know.
There you go. There you go, Surfer. Now you can go and watch the whole 2-hour thing.
No, I don't need to. That's what I tuned for this show for. Y'all keep me up to date on the good stuff.
No, you'd rather go and watch Star Wars 3 or 4 times.
Exactly.
Maybe not. Maybe on Thursday though.
Of course.
4DX.
Because you want to feel your ass move. You want to feel your ass tremble.
Yes, I do.
Uh-oh.
He's got company.
Is that Ubu's owner?
He's going to feel this under his ass.
I'm surprised he ain't trying to get down here to stall.
Oh, you know what I'm going to bring up? And I think Lee will get upset if I bring this up. Tony C, do you know what I'm going to bring up before we get into wrestling?
There's a concern in that video that
No.
The people in it.
No. Oh. Surfer. Surfer.
Hold on, I got a lot of noise in the background.
I know. The dog's owner came to.
He got company.
He's got company. And he's trying to host a show. He's put it. God damn it, don't you know I'm hosting I'm on an internet radio show.
Broadcast journalist.
I'm a broadcast journalist. Oh, man. Speaking of God damn, and I ain't talking about George Washington Duke, but I am talking about damn. We're going to talk about that in a second, too. Well, let me tell
you. News that I sent to you.
But isn't that out of left field?
It is. I just heard about it. If I wasn't listening to who I was listening to, I would have never known.
This, I mean, normally we know these things well in advance. I think that news just came out last week about the special. And now it's tomorrow.
Yep.
So I wonder what episode of All in the Family they're going to do, and I want to know what episode of Good Times they're going to do.
So it's the All in the Family Good Times.
Yeah. Which okay. makes no sense.
Exactly.
They should have did, I don't know if they should have done All in the Family again, but they should have done Maude and Good Times.
Yep. That is spinoff. I don't know.
It makes no sense to me.
Did you read that 6-page letter by old boy?
No, I did not.
Oh, man.
I did not. I know that
there was some grammatical errors in that.
And I know he basically said that the Speaker of the House is just a no good piece. He basically wanted to say the same thing that Goldberg said about Scott Hall.
Pretty much, yeah. But, you know, in a typical situation, if you know, you know what I'm saying, you're about to bro, you will try to be humble and be like, you know what I'm saying, I apologize. You know what I'm saying?
But he's going to be, you know. He's going to, I don't know. I don't know if he'll
resign.
He's
going down his history as number three. He's going to be
number three, but he might go down as the first one that he will be actually removed from his post if he doesn't resign. Because the others have never been removed. It never got that far. So, I don't know.
He got what Macho Man said Eric Bischoff had in that promo at the Super Bowl about Dr. Harvey Schiller. You got protection.
You got protection, brother.
Yep, that's what he said.
When was the first time he had Chip Burnham as well? Dusty Rhodes. And Chip Burnham is in a heap.
No,
All right, Surfer, you organized yourself.
Got your situation cleared up over there.
I don't know. What do you hear in the background?
It sounds like you threw the people out.
No.
You said, get the hell out, and you slammed. Basically, you did what Florida did to JJ.
Oh, when he said about...
when he was gambling. Get the hell out of my house!
JJ, get the hell out! We was trying to get the rent money by playing pool.
Yeah.
No.
You think that's what they're going to show tomorrow?
I don't know what they're showing tomorrow.
No, James got the money playing pool. JJ
was just running numbers.
So they switching to Jefferson. Why not switch All in the Family too?
We said that already. If you weren't throwing your company out, you would have heard all that.
Well, great minds think alike.
Anyways, I'm going to announce something, Surfer, that will floor you. How often do you go to the comic book stores in your neck of the woods?
About once a week.
And let me ask you something, because this is a genre that I'm unfamiliar with. By going once a week, are you guaranteed finding something new?
Well, new books come out every week.
Okay.
Now, there's been weeks where none of the books I read come out.
Okay. Well, but, and do the people know you in the comic book stores?
Of course.
Surfer!
Hey, everybody. Surfer! Exactly.
No, yo. Oh, good.
How's the world treating you, Mr. Surfer?
Well, let me tell you.
They're on a first-name basis with me.
Silver! Anyways, how many comic book stores do you normally frequent?
Just one.
Okay.
I mean, like
how many comic book stores are there in the greater Philadelphia area?
Off the top of my head?
Big ones.
Well, okay, in the downtown area.
Uh-huh.
Center City.
Uh-huh.
There's three.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
One is the oldest one, one of the original ones in the country.
Okay.
But I hear that's going out of business.
Okay. Do you know, and this is simply off the record, and because I said I would bring this up on the air, but do you know that a certain member of the network staff went and took a tour of the various comic book stores of Philadelphia this past weekend?
No, I did not.
Yes, they were.
They might have went to the one I took them to.
Well, I don't know if it's. I'm just saying that they were in town this weekend to peruse the comic book shops of the greater Philadelphia area.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious if you had any input on that, knowing that somebody was in your neighborhood invading your comic book space.
No, I don't know.
let's replay that for in case you missed it. In case if you had any input on that, knowing that somebody was in your neighborhood invading your comic book space. Okay.
Well, like Beethoven over there.
So, did you know that Lee Champion was in Philadelphia this past weekend, going from comic book to comic book store?
No, that son of a bitch should have called me or text me. Let me know he was in town.
Did we not say, Tony C, that he was going to say those exact words pretty much? That he was going to be upset that Lee didn't contact him?
Yep. And Lee knows how he is, too.
Oh, man. Such profanity. That son of a bitch knows to contact me when he's in my town.
Exactly.
No, it's not like Lee and myself don't know each other.
No.
Personally.
No.
So, I'm not saying he has to come see me, but he could say, yo, I'm in town.
No, I think the excuse Lee gave was that he didn't want to be Ubering you and the dog around town.
We dragged. Put a little pole.
Did he fool it? If he said that, he's full of shit.
Oh, man. We just thought it was funny, that's all. Because we knew you would be upset about it. Oh, man, that's funny.
Hey, I'm not upset. I mean, if you don't want to give me a shout-out and say hello, that's
fine. I think he was only in for a couple of hours.
Okay, I didn't ask for him to come meet me. It just
and I think I believe it was also last minute. It's not that it happened.
He was in room 806.
It didn't happen.
Well, that was Phil. That was Phil that was in room 806.
He was in Armada.
I mean, Phil could have texted me, too. But
I think that was also last minute as well. So, anyways.
They just make these plans.
I mean, listen. It happens.
And they peruse around Surface Town without telling them.
It just shows that I'm not considered one of the inner circle.
But if he was with family.
Okay.
Anyways. I guess let's talk. Well, so let's talk about this thing tomorrow. They should not do another All in the Family because the first All in the Family was not that good.
That's true.
It had good performances.
It was. Woody Harrelson was terrible.
I think Ike Barinholtz was pretty good.
Marissa Tomei did her best, but Woody Harrelson is not a good Archie Bunker.
No, he's a Joe Biden, but not Archie.
Yeah,
he's a hell of a Joe Biden. Hell of a Joe Biden.
But But yeah, so we'll see what happens tomorrow with that. We'll talk about that when we come back from Christmas. But okay. So there was a pay-per-view on Sunday. And listen to this. Things are getting immensely petty in the pissing match between AEW and NXT.
I'm so glad that you're our friend.
Do you know? We're going to talk about that. But did you know that the ratings this past Wednesday were tied?
No, not tied.
There was a push, so they each had 773,000 viewers. So the ratings were. I believe AEW won. If you go to the exact breakdown. AEW did win the demographic, but in terms of the overall viewers, it was a tie. WWE announced, because I believe this is going to be the last NXT of the year, at least the last live one, because the following weeks after that, you've got Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So I don't know if there'll be NXT airing or not. But on Wednesday night, it's going to be Adam Cole defending the NXT Championship against Finn Balor in the opening match. And the match is going commercial free.
Commercial free.
So AEW announced almost immediately that they said, okay, we're going to have Kenny Omega and Adam Page versus the Lucha Brothers in the opening match of Dynamite, and that will also go commercial-free. What do you want to watch? Kenny Omega and Adam Page versus the Lucha Brothers, or Adam Cole versus Finn Balor for the NXT Championship?
I think a championship match trumps everything.
So yeah, it is what it is. And then, of course, this coming, I believe the main event for NXT this week is going to be Shayna Baszler defending the NXT Women's Championship against Rhea Ripley. That will be the main event tomorrow night on NXT. And I don't know what the main event is tomorrow. But I would venture to say, even though that we don't know for sure, it would be safe to say that NXT probably will win the ratings tomorrow night.
Does the belt need to change in order for the ratings to help with the ratings?
What was that?
Does the belt need to change hands in order for the ratings?
No. No. You need to have have a good, compelling match.
The fact that the title's been defended
is good enough. Good enough. Two big championship matches. And the best AEW could come up with is Kenny Omega and Adam Page versus the Lucha Brothers. Commercial free as the opening segment to Dynamite. AEW also announced, like if it was a big, big deal, they're going to go to the State Farms Arena in Atlanta, Georgia for a Dynamite taping. So? Your arenas have not been selling out. They've been half empty. I don't know what the big deal is, but they made a big ballyhoo about that. They also made a big ballyhoo that AEW has finally sold 100,000 tickets, which I don't necessarily think that that's that much, considering that they've had 10 weeks of TV plus two or three pay-per-views. And one of the pay-per-views, they had 18,000 people there. So, I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot, to be honest with you. I could be wrong, though. I could be wrong. Sin Cara. The released Sin Cara. As Sin Cara wrestled or made an appearance on the AAA pay-per-view over the weekend, violating his 90-day non-compete. So now he might be, WWE might be might be getting litigious.
Uh-oh.
And taking Sin Cara to court.
And you know my people invented litigation.
And that's what right. good would that do?
What, taking Sin Cara to court?
It would recoup some of that money.
It would recoup the money, and it would also... they could also prevent him from working, period. There are certain things in terms of when you sign your WWE contract, their clauses are very strict. And one of the strictest clauses that protects WWE is the non-compete. That's why, you know, usually your non-compete is 30 days, 6 weeks. WWE's non-compete is 90 days.
They're very petty about that.
And if you breach your contract, he didn't even wait a month. He waited 7 days to breach his non-compete. So, WWE will probably sue Sin Cara. They probably will sue AAA. It's going to get dirty. It's going to get pretty dirty.
Sound like they're being bullies.
No. This is where WWE has a right. If you sign an agreement and the terms of your agreement say if you get released or you leave, you have 90 days where you cannot perform. It is your responsibility to adhere to those terms. And if you don't adhere to your terms, you need to face the consequences. It's just like, you know, the traffic laws. If you break the law, what happens? You get a traffic ticket. You're not above the law. You're not above the terms.
If that radio station promises you tickets to a certain movie, surfer, and then they don't give you the tickets, aren't you going to get litigious on them? Correct?
Surfer's going.
I'm the little guy.
No.
It don't matter. It's a principle.
So you're trying to say, Surfer, that if a radio station said, you called in, and the winner of the new Star Wars movie tickets is Silver Surfer, and then the radio station doesn't follow through and says, you know what, we'll give you the tickets at a later date, and they don't even give you the tickets.
You just going to let them off the hook?
You should let them off the hook?
I'm not going to get a lawyer and sue them.
Why not?
Over some movie tickets? Come on now.
No, how petty you are, you would.
But wait a minute. We're not talking about being petty here. If a radio station, you enter a contest right. by law. Listen, if the radio station, hold it. If the radio station doesn't follow through, if you win a contest that is aired on the air, that is played out on the air for public consumption by an airwaves ruled by the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission,
with all those witnesses listening,
and they ultimately renege on the deal and they don't give you your movie tickets, You're just going to take it lying down?
No, I mean, I would try, but getting a lawyer, I'm going to have to pay a lawyer to get tickets that are worth, what, $50?
But you don't sue for the tickets. You're not going to sue for the tickets. You're going to sue for the fact that they said they're going to give you this false advertisement. So
how much am I sue for?
You could easily sue
enough to make it worth that lawyer's while.
You could.
He'll tell you how much to sue for.
How much would you sue for false advertisement if it's a big radio station? Let's say it's a Clear Channel radio station. You could take them to court for $1 million easy.
Okay, I don't know if that would ever happen, but
I'm sure it's happened.
Exactly.
I'm sure it's happened.
So. I've been in a situation where I did win from a radio station. And then I never got my... Can I finish? I did get my prize. I called up there. I went by the station. So they claim that they gave the prize out at the location. And they didn't. And I told him I got witnesses that said that I won, but I was supposed to get it later. So it wasn't, I'm going to sue, I'm going to get lawyers. They just said, well, we don't have the prize. Do you want this or this or that? And I took one of the alternative prizes.
Okay, but my scenario was that the station didn't give you anything.
Exactly. You left empty-handed.
Well, just, hey.
And I'm not, listen, I understand, Surfer, what you're trying to say, okay?
How do you know
that? You're talking, if a radio station came to you and said, I'm going to give you two tickets to the new Ernest movie, you're not going to sue after a couple of Ernest tickets. But if the radio station is off, you know, saying that you won two tickets to the new Star Wars movie, which is a hot ticket, hot commodity, and they don't give it to you because they said, or whatever, they just flat out don't give it to you. You're not going to sue for that? That's a big deal.
I'm not going through the trouble getting a lawyer for some movie tickets.
Surfer, that's where you're wrong. You pinch pennies everywhere. But this is a situation.
Money saved to get a lawyer.
This is a situation where you could squeeze a company for not following. Listen, the word you used was that I'm the little guy. The little guy, you know, never wins or whatever. This is a situation where the big guy's trying to screw the little guy over.
Mm-hmm.
You go and you sue Clear Channel Communications because they didn't follow through with what they advertised on the air. You sue them for $1 million. What is Clear Channel going to do? Clear Channel's not going to want to draw this out in court. Clear Channel's going to get on the phone with your attorney and say, let's settle. And they're going to call you up and say, okay, your attorney calls you up and said, Surfer, Clear Channel called me. They got in contact. They said, if we can dismiss the case, we'll settle out of court and they're going to cut you a check for $250,000. You're going to tell me that putting up with a little bit of hassle and aggravation on your end, you wouldn't do it for $250,000?
I wouldn't think that way, no.
You know how many?
You're wrong, man. This is one situation that I'm surprised that you wouldn't.
You know how many pro scan TVs you get for $250,000?
I mean, Surfer, this is.
You know how many Vegas trips you can take?
You're not suing some hole in the wall rinky dink thing that didn't follow through with a contest. We're talking a major radio station in a major market like Philadelphia offering you a major prize, and they don't follow through with it. On an airwaves run by the federal government?
You think if I enter a WWF sweepstake for a WrestleMania ticket and then they tell me they ain't going to me, I won't go in.
And they don't give you a valid reason.
Exactly.
No valid reason. They just said, we decided not to give you the tickets.
Exactly. I'm going to call that WWE voicemail, the AA guy. And I'm going to threaten them on that voicemail. And then...
I don't know why you're trying to convince me I need to sue. I wouldn't go through the trouble.
but that's the thing. I gave you the setup.
You're talking... Like little
all right, well, all right, next time that way...
But here's the thing. You wouldn't sue if it was a... If the prize... Like, again... If it was a movie, if it was two tickets to Ernest, Ernest Scared Stupid again, I can understand not going through the hassle for two tickets to Ernest Scared Stupid. But if it's Star Wars, I'm specifically saying Star Wars.
He's afraid of being deposed, Double A. He's like Trump.
What's to be deposed? What's to be deposed? Because what would happen was that Surfer calls a radio station, okay? Surfer enters the radio, the contest for the tickets. If Surfer is announced as the winner on the air. That means there should be recorded audio of that. Yep. Okay? There should be recorded audio of that. That means that would be broadcasted on the air, like I said, through a federal airwave stream. At that point,
are you suing?
I would definitely sue.
Okay.
Because here's what happens. Here's what happens, Surfer, that you don't realize. Okay? If the radio station did not follow through and gave you your prize, you sue them. And if it becomes a long, drawn-out process, let's just say it does, do you know what happens to that radio station if they're ultimately found guilty? The radio station risks a very strong possibility that the FCC will turn around and revoke their license to broadcast, and the station could be taken off the air. No radio station is going to take that chance.
Risk
all that, because it's not easy to get a broadcast license.
Behind Silver Surfer.
So let me tell you something. The minute you say, I'm going to sue your ass, they're going to want to settle immediately and cut you a check for whatever money. They're not going to give you what you ask, but they're going to give you a fraction of that. So you wouldn't put up with a little bit of grief just to line your pockets with a little bit of money if they screwed you out of something that you wanted.
He's worried about being under oath, and they say, is your name Silver Surfer? And he said, yes.
And then they find out it's not really Silver Surfer.
That's what I'm saying. He can get tricked. It's a perjury trap.
I wouldn't do it. I don't know why you keep asking me.
It's a perjury trap, man. Are you the one they call Silver Surfer?
It just baffles me that you wouldn't do it. You go through the minutiae. Again, this is one of those things. You get on the bus to go to Delaware to buy a TV so you don't pay tax, but you won't sue a broadcast company for screwing you out of tickets where you could line your pockets with $250,000. That makes no sense to me.
I don't see how they equate to the same thing.
Because you go through the trouble of one and won't go through the trouble of the other.
Exactly. You go through a big hassle. You can tell us all you want that it's not a big hassle to travel to Delaware to get a TV. But to us, okay?
Yeah, because you're not in Delaware.
No. Forget about it being Delaware. The act of getting on a bus, going to another state to save maybe $15 in taxes to lug a TV back on the bus to go back to the apartment sounds too complicated to me. But if picking up the phone and calling an attorney and saying, this happened, what can I get out of it? And they tell me $250,000, and all I have to do is sign a couple of paperwork. The attorneys will do all the hard work. And all I have to do is answer the phone a couple times. I'm going to do it. It's much better than lugging around a 20-pound TV on a bus.
But as I said, in my experience, most radio stations will just give you something else.
Okay, but that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not.
He doesn't have a great experience with a...
No, I'm not. Listen, if I don't get the tickets, I'm not damaged to the point I got to sue somebody.
Surfer, you fill out here's another scenario. You fill out a contest form. Okay?
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. A contest form. Top prize is $1,000. And it's clear as day, written in black and white on the contest form. They have the drawing. They pull your name. You're the grand prize winner of the $1,000. And they turn around and they give you a check for $500 with no explanation.
Wouldn't I be better off going to small claims court for that?
Hell no.
You still don't get it.
Okay, well.
He doesn't like litigation, Double A. That's, he's afraid.
No, but forget about that.
I've been in litigation.
It has nothing to do with that.
But
do you see what he just said? He said, wouldn't I just go to small claims court for what? To get the other $500?
Get the other $500.
No, at that point, you sue them for three or four times that. For false advertising.
Everybody ain't built for litigation.
I'm not asking you to pour. I'm not asking you to go to the supermarket and pour some soap on the floor.
Everybody ain't built for it. Got to realize that. Like I said, he worried about a perjury trap. I can't really blame him on that.
Perjury trap? We're gonna perjure myself.
I didn't ask you to go and sue Subway because your sub was not 12 inches; it was only 11 and a half.
Is your name Silver Surfer? Yes. Perjury trap. Right there.
Why wouldn't I use my government name?
Objection, Your Honor. Yes. I have proof that this man just perjured himself on the stand.
Why would I go to a lawyer
in the chair
and give them my superhero name instead of giving them instead of giving them my mild manner alter ego name?
The point is that your rationale for going through hassle makes no sense.
Do you think Bruce Wayne goes into court and says I'm Batman?
Maybe.
Maybe one day he will.
No. He's never given up his identity.
And has he had? But how many times has Batman gone to court?
As Batman, is testifying against the Riddler, the Joker, But
what on the TV series?
No, in the comics, he's been in, like one of his villains.
We need live action. If it's on page, we need live action.
One of his villains, Two-Face, was the district attorney.
We need live action, Surfer. Live action. Okay.
Yeah,
I want to tell the truth. The
I
whole
doubt
truth.
They would do that in the movies these days.
Why not? I'm gonna do a movie just to do that, you know? Because why not? That should be the Joker's ace in the hole. I know how I'm gonna get Batman's identity. I'm gonna sue him in court.
Litigation.
No, litigation fixes everything, doesn't it, Tony C?
Bring everything to the light. I understand why Surfer don't want to go through litigation.
I understand, but do you understand that he does? He's giving the excuse of he doesn't want to go through the hassle when he'll go through the trouble of lugging a TV from another state on a bus.
That's the difference.
Here's a man that's got no qualms taking a four-hour bus ride up to the state of New York, traverse Comic-Con all day, and getting back on that bus to come back to Philadelphia on another four-hour bus ride. He's got no problems doing that. But making a phone call to an attorney that'll do all the legwork so he can line his pockets doesn't make any sense.
The lawyer's office.
Yeah, well.
It's different things.
I completely know that there's different things. I guess I'm
missing out on a payday.
Even if it wasn't for the payday, Surfer, it baffles me that you will go through the trouble for some stuff. And we're not talking about a little bit of trouble. We're talking through a lot of trouble. And I'm not ragging on you. Because to me, it sounds like having to sit on a bus for 8 hours just to traverse Comic-Con?
Get that TV.
Or get that TV? Doesn't sound worth it to me. I have a hard time myself, okay, doing certain things because it's just a minuscule inconvenience.
Well, we know what the Silver want to do. He don't trust litigation.
Like, for example,
I don't blame you.
I hate cutting the weeds and I hate trimming the bushes outside. So I pay somebody to do it. You know, that's a personal minor inconvenience. So I alleviate myself of that inconvenience and push it off to somebody else. You don't have to.
When you get caught up in litigation, they get all up in your world or your life. And stuff.
I get that,
surfer don't want that.
But we're talking two different kinds of litigation. The litigation that you're getting in has a lot of moving parts. Surfer suing a multinational radio conglomerate for false advertising. It's going to be an in and out case because they're going to settle.
They'll want to know where he got that dog from.
They don't give a damn. They just want to end this case, get it off the books, and not worry about it. They'll come. They're going to come to you. They're going to come to you and say, "You know what, Surfer? You're right. We're sorry. We made a mistake. If you will just dismiss this case, we'll cut you a check right now for $250,000." I would sure as hell put up with a little bit of an inconvenience for that.
When you Uber.
We're not talking about you going back and forth with the radio station and maybe them bringing up the fact that maybe you didn't follow the rules or something. No. We're talking about they just flat out didn't give you your prize.
Sir, since you're so not well, what about this Vegas trip you just took? See, that's y'all in his business. But see, it literally Gates, you have to explain all your moves and stuff like that. I don't blame you, man.
I mean, imagine if you had a slip and fall at a supermarket.
Oh my God!
You were not hurt. You were
spend another. How many more minutes are we gonna spend on this?
You were not hurt in the slip and fall, but you were embarrassed in front of your peers, maybe that you had with you. You were embarrassed in front of a group of strangers. Over the negligence of the supermarket because the floor probably was wet. You're not going to sue?
No. Okay. Can we move on to the next topic?
You don't like litigation. That's the moral of the story.
I guess. Surfer doesn't want $250,000 from a radio conglomerate, but he will save $15.72 on that new TV from the state of Delaware. So what if he has to haul it on the bus?
No matter.
Anyway, so WWE is in the right for suing Sin Cara. He breached the contract, so WWE has every right in the world to sue him.
Oh, I'm so glad. That doesn't mean they should. That's what the point I was trying to come up with. What did they get out of suing? A lot. Bad PR. It just gives them bad PR.
It's not bad PR. I this is where I side with WWE here. You know. Because on top of that, because here, you know what's on top of the that just adds insult to injury? It's not even the original Sin Cara who did that.
Yeah, Sin Cara 2.
It's Sin Cara 2 who did that. So
the Villanos 1 and 2 would have did something, been up on a contract. Who would have gotten sued?
Depends.
Villano 3.
Primo denies the fact that he failed the WWE drug test, but I don't know if I necessarily believe
Surfer,
that.
Were you impressed by the Fiend's Harley Quinn mallet Sunday?
No, he used that on the Funhouse.
That's
nothing new.
But
and that's not the Fiend's mallet, that's Bray Wyatt's mallet.
Tony C was tickled to death when he came out to that song.
That's my favorite song in the world.
Oh, here we go. Let's take you back to TLC this past Sunday. This is a friendship that'll never ever end.
And his opponent, he is the UWC.
can't start having guests.
Bray Wyatt, just a strange dude, this facade of wanting to be everybody's friend. I mean, he waves, comes out here calling everybody, hey, buddy, when he comes down to the ring. I mean, it's ridiculous. And what we've seen how dangerous this man is, Corey. There's no doubt about the level of danger, the threat posed by the Universal Champion at all times. Bray Wyatt is downright diabolical. This could end.
Yeah.
I loved it, yo.
It was really good. It was entertaining.
So if Daniel Bryan...
celebrity guest on there.
Daniel Bryan is going to face who? Bray Wyatt at the Royal Rumble?
I think what's going to happen is that I have a feeling Daniel Bryan's going to face Bray Wyatt first and then face The Fiend again. That's what I think. I think they're going to shelve The Fiend for a little bit, and we're going to get Bray Wyatt.
I mean, who's Brock facing at the Royal Rumble?
Bob Holly. No.
15 years later.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question.
I saw something that Bobby Lashley was going to be become the new WWE champion.
Ugh.
Well, wasn't he older match with Brock Lesnar?
I don't know.
But we'll see. We'll definitely see.
I'm so glad that you're my friend.
Wow.
I love that song, yo. That's better than the one he did for Cena when they had he got the whole just creepy.
Yeah,
this one is just funny.
Anything you guys want to touch on from the pay-per-view Raw? I mean, the pay-per-view kind of was. It was tough to watch.
Good or bad?
It was tough to watch.
I'm just glad Becky and Charlotte lost.
Yeah, and the Cooper. But that match was sloppy as hell. Most of the matches were sloppy.
That's because they say Kyrie Sane got that concussion.
But most of the matches were sloppy. I told Lee this in our text chat during the pay-per-view that this pay-per-view is ill-placed. Should be happening after WrestleMania, not right before WrestleMania season starts.
They got extreme rules right after.
Everybody wants to get through the rest of the year.
In one piece.
Having the most brutal pay-per-view does not make sense.
Oh, man. The pay-per-view was rough to watch.
I don't know where they're going in 2020.
Raw was no different. Lana asked Bobby Lashley to marry her.
I thought he was going to give her the boot.
Nah. But it's funny. They're going to get married 2 weeks on Raw because they taped next week's Raw already. Raw was on a 40.
First Raw of the New Year, right?
Yeah, the first Raw before it's the Raw before Christmas.
Has there ever been a?
I mean, the Raw before New Year.
Oh yeah, the wedding will happen on the Raw before New Year's.
Has there ever been a WWE wedding that went without a hitch?
Macho Man's,
yeah.
Oh no, because
the actual wedding that happened afterwards at the party.
It's still something went wrong.
No, but the wedding, the ceremony itself.
I'm talking about any time. I'm not talking about the ceremony. I'm talking about just.
There's no other time. There's no other time.
When people get married, period. This is always going to be.
And in the ceremonies, all the other ceremonies that have ever happened in the WWE has always, they've either never ended or there's an issue. And that was the only wedding ceremony that actually ended.
Yep.
So.
But I count the whole thing afterwards as part of a screwy situation.
I guess. Even though that's the reception.
Yeah. WWE resigned Kofi Kingston to a new deal. And I think that's it.
So is Seth Rollins going to become the new U.S. champion?
I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, that's what.
Oh, speaking of that, we're supposedly getting a new U.S. title belt also.
It needs to look like the old one that you got, though.
Supposedly, it's been already delivered to the WWE. So we'll see what happens next week. Maybe we'll get a new belt. And I think that's it. Anything else? I think we're going to wrap it up here because I'm slowly
running
fading.
I'm running on fumes. Like...
Yeah, I'm fading here. Go ahead. Anything else you guys want to touch on real quick?
So, do y'all care about this whole AOP backing up Seth Rollins?
Not really.
And I already heard about what happens next week with them, so...
Yeah. Well, if you're interested in the spoilers, just go and watch. Go look them up online.
And they telegraphed that from what was said this week.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about because I didn't look at the spoilers.
You want me to say or no?
No, I don't care. If you want to say it, say it. It's not like I'm going to watch next week.
Well,
I probably will, but, you know.
They go to put somebody through a table, and Samoa Joe gets in their face. So they put Samoa Joe through the table. And then, of course, Samoa Joe said, oh, well, they got to wake up and put an end to this. You know it's going to be him and Kevin Owens and probably Rey Mysterio teaming up to take them on.
Lovely. Well, I don't think Joe's medically cleared right now, so...
Why would he put him to a table if he wasn't medically cleared?
Because he just has a broken thumb.
He can take the bump.
He just can't wrestle. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Who's double A right now? Top of your head. Who's winning the Royal Rumble? Quick. We're all thinking. Quick.
Sheamus.
Oh, hell no.
I don't know. I am trying to think. I'm trying to think, and I don't know. It could be Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan hasn't won the Royal Rumble yet, so... Could be him.
He didn't win. Oh, no. He didn't win it there yet. Batista won it. Okay, I got you.
So, no Roman Reigns, huh?
Are you serious? I'm looking
again?
At... Hold on. I'm looking at a commercial. Freeform is rebooting Party of Five.
I didn't know that. I'm getting ready to watch Grownish and Jane.
I'm looking at the commercial right now.
Party of freaking Five. Let's go.
Ugh. Anyways. Yeah, okay. I guess that's it.
Right.
Well.
You heard it first. Double A's pick. Daniel Bryan.
To win the 2020 Royal Rumble. 2020.
Wow.
I heard one rumor that was going to be Keith Lee.
Too soon.
Oh, hell no.
Too soon.
What if Bray Wyatt wins the Royal Rumble and has faced the Fiend?
No. I actually thought the Fiend was going to come out.
He's champion. He's half the champion.
I thought the Fiend was actually going to come out.
They're both champions.
No, that what they should have did was had Bray Wyatt come out without the belt.
No, Bray Wyatt has the Universal belt, and then the Fiend has his own belt.
But Bray Wyatt did beat Seth Rollins.
The Fiend just hasn't come out with the belt with his face on it yet.
The Fiend beat him. That's what I'm saying. They could have played it like that for a minute.
The Fiend gave the belt to Bray Wyatt. And then the Fiend, in return, got his own belt. That nobody likes.
Okay. All right, well, if you're listening to this broadcast live, the Shining Wizards from earlier tonight will rebroadcast it along with this program. And then with that, you'll get a new episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks, I believe, on Friday. I don't know what the schedules are going forward. Couple of things. Number one, the Midnight Jury was supposed to be live last Saturday, unfortunately, and they were supposed to have their last show of the year. It was supposed to be a big Christmas special, and unfortunately, I should have started the show with this, but I just remembered it right now. Unfortunately, they could not do the show because the host of Midnight Jury, Mike Nordenganger, his brother passed away. And so our condolences go out to him. Man. And so he has been dealing with that this past week. Now, in regards to Turnbuckle Throwbacks, I believe Phil and Jay will be live on Friday, and they will wrap up. I'm not sure if they're going to be wrapping up the year or not. Choppy has not been on the show because his youngest, Landon, has been in the hospital for the past, I believe we're on day 12 or 13 at this point. So keep them in your thoughts as they're dealing with some issues right now in regards to Landon. And that is it. I think that's it. I think we've covered everything. We want to tell everybody to enjoy their holiday season. Like I said, this technically is going to be our last show of the year, but we implore everybody to stay tuned to social media because you never know when AA might say, you know what, let's do a show. You never know. It could happen. I doubt it, but it could happen. We're going to try to run a couple of marathons during the course of the during the break. We'll try to run some shows from this past year. I think what we're going to do is a, because even though I touched on it at the start of the show, the three decades thing with Durant, I think what we're going to do is we're going to try our best to air some episodes of the rant from the different decades, meaning you'll get an episode from the 2007 to 2009 years, and then, of course, some episodes from these last 10 years. Also, I thought about running an episode from every year that we've been on the air. So we may run a couple of marathons with the various shows and this and that during the holiday season. Usually, we run a marathon during Christmas, which means maybe next Tuesday or Wednesday you might hear something. But we'll see. I'll keep everybody abreast on social media. Bear in mind that with things being a little crazy and chaotic here, me switching jobs and things like that, I haven't had too much time to devote to scheduling things out as I would normally do. But 2020 seems to be a very interesting and promising year. The first time we will be back on the air, at least that between now and the end of the holidays, will be Tuesday, January 7th, 2020. For the first episode of the rant of the not only the new year but the new decade, and hopefully we will have a lot of fun, a lot of frivolity. Surfer will tell us what he did during the holiday break. Maybe he'll get stiffed out of some tickets. Surfer, you bought tickets. I'm gonna last scenario. You bought tickets to Star Wars on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And the movie theater oversold the theater. And they won't let you in.
Okay.
What do you do?
I get a lot from the manager right on the spot. That's about it.
You get a what?
I'll get the manager to give me a lot on the spot.
What's a lot?
My money back plus readmittance tickets.
That's it?
Readmittance tickets.
I think Surfer.
What else are they going to do?
Surfer. I think you're... There are times when you have the ability, when you've been wronged, that you should be able to get litigious. And I think you're not using the situations that are at your disposal. I mean, again, we're not talking about Ernest Scared Stupid. We're talking about Star Wars, a movie that you probably bought your tickets a couple of months ago. And you find out that it's oversold, and now you're not going to be able to see the movie for, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks due to the all the tickets being sold out. I think it would be, I would do more than just, you know, ruffle the collar of the movie theater, the manager. The bad manager probably didn't even realize they oversold the tickets.
They're not going to go through a lot just because they overbooked a ticket. If I have a ticket and they don't have a seat, they're going to give me a refund and they're going to give me tickets to come back. That's about it.
You don't know that.
Oh, so what else am I going to get from $100?
That's why you got to get a lawyer involved.
Yeah, okay. No.
Surfer. All right. Well, with that said, we want to wish everybody a happy holiday season. For Tony C, for Surfer, I'm Double A. For Ubu, for everybody, we'll see you Tuesday night, January 7th, 2020, on a new edition of The Rant. Happy holidays, everybody, and have a good night.